In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. Good to see you here. I have something to announce to you. Most of you probably already know this, but I'm going to share it with you nevertheless. I just wanted to let you know that yesterday, immediately after Mass, Tina Coronado, she died right after Mass at 3:15 p.m., and she died in my arms. So she was there, just prayed with her, and commended her soul to God, and as soon as I did so, she went straight away. It was actually quite beautiful. But please continue to pray for the continued repose of her soul. She received all of her last sacraments, and even the final commendation, all those great things that the Church gives us, consuelos in such a difficult moment. Pray for her, pray for Gloria and her husband, and for all those connected to her grief, her loss at such a young age. She's pretty young. Immediately after that, during the Mass, I told you that I had a call from the hospital in Santa Rosa, and it was of somebody else from Vaughan, who was an even younger woman, who had just had a stroke, and surprisingly, and was rushed to the hospital, and she was in her last moments. So when I told Gloria that I was going to pray with her, that I had to be quick because there's a woman who probably wouldn't make it another hour while I was with her. So we did, and Tina helped out and died within 20 minutes of me being with her, and then I was able to rush and go as quickly as possible to Santa Rosa and arrive there just as this other woman passed away. I was able to give her those conditional last rites as well. And so the two of them were sent to God as well. So pray for the repose of these souls, these two women as well. And for Al Gomez, who passed away from Santa Rosa, again, I think it was yesterday or maybe it was the day before, and his funeral will be on Thursday of this week in Santa Rosa. Those difficult things being dealt with. Today we have the feast of Saint John the Beloved, and I'm only going to address that in Spanish during this time, but rather in English. Just to quiz you a little bit, I prefaced it like I did on Sunday when I mentioned some things to you during the announcement time, but does anybody know how long we celebrate Christmas? Anybody? 8 days. Okay, what did you say? 12 days. And what did Cynthia say? Because she never says anything, that's why. Don't know on him? You say 6 days? Okay. I like that answer. That's the first time you've answered in a long time, so I give you full points for that. The answer is Christmas Day is celebrated for 8 days, and the answer is Christmas season is typically looked up as 12 days, and so that's correct. And then you wanted to say something else? What? Yeah, that's right. Till February the 2nd is when we meditate upon those Christmas mysteries as well. So 40 days. So there's a lot of right answers to that. That's why I like that question. There's a lot of right answers. And six, I give you thumbs up because you're almost 6 years old, right? So that's pretty awesome. So we'll take that. We'll take that as well. So I want to talk to you today about the 12 days of Christmas. 12 days of Christmas. And there's a beautiful hymn, as those who are here in the center know, because we talked about it on Christmas Day as we sang that song together and went over and over again what it's all about. Remember, during that time within the Protestant rebellion in the British Isles there under the lustful loins of Henry VIII and his breakaway from the church from 1558 until 1829, it was absolutely illegal to be a Catholic in England. Absolutely illegal. Just for doing anything with your prayer. It could be whether it was illegal to be a Catholic, you were prohibited from any practice of faith by law. Whether it was a private act of faith within your own self or whether it was a public act in any way. All of it was a crime just to be a Catholic. Just to be a Catholic. Somewhat similar to what happened later on in the 1900s in Mexico, but not to the extreme as it was here, that even private acts were restricted. Even within one's own home, if one were to found with any Catholic writings of any way, or catechism songs, you or your children or anybody like that could easily be thrown into prison. You could find yourself being tortured grievously. You could find yourself hung or a head short of your body, or drawn and quartered just for any practice of your faith. Such is the great anti-Catholicism of England. And that's why the Americas, the United States in particular, has always been so virulently anti-Catholic, even to this day. That's where it has its roots in. So the Christian children, the Catholic children, would have these songs that were taught to them that would disguise Catholic teachings within them so they could have a practice of their faith while on the outside seeming as nothing, while on the inside they would have an understanding of what was going on. Catholics are always creative, and we're at our best when we're in the midst of persecution. So hopefully we're going to be at our best again really soon here, because it seems like it's coming on stronger. And so that's why it's such a good time to be Catholic in these days. And so the 12 days of Christmas are this. A partridge in a pear tree, my true love gave to me, right? That is speaking about the love that God gives in his very self in his son, Jesus Christ. Obviously, that one is easy there. The two turtle doves that are represented there, they're for what? You know Barbara. Two natures of God, that's a good answer. The Old Testament and New Testament, they're both good. They're both good. Two natures of in Jesus Christ, of his human nature and divine nature. I mean, I could play with two for a long time because there's a lot of twos that we could do there. We have three. They would think about the three French hens, but in that it was the three theological virtues of faith, of hope, and of charity. Faith, hope, and charity. Those are the three virtues by which we hold on to God. Faith, reaching out toward him. Hope, believing that he will come and rescue us and save us. And charity, being the bond of perfection, the attainment of God's life himself, in himself. Then for four, the four calling birds were none other than the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, reminding you that those are the four witnesses that we have that tell us exactly what is necessary for faith to go forward and have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ by listening to them, by studying what they have to say within those sacred words. Five golden rings. This was the first five books of the Old Testament called the Pentateuch, which gives the history of man's fall from grace. The five, meaning the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those form the basis of what Jewish believers held strong to be a people of the Pentateuch, of the writings of Moses in this way. The six geese a-laying. These were the 6 days in which the world was created. But Cynthia's looking at me funny. She says, no, it was 7 days. Not 7 days. It's 6 days because on the seventh day, our Lord Jesus rested. Or our Lord God rested in that way. He rested from his labors. So it was in the 6 days he created, and then the seventh day God took rest. And so you got the seventh by thinking about the six that was there. The seven swans of swimming represents the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And don't worry, I'm not going to ask you for what those are, Cynthia. You got them on the exam. But the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit were gifts that God gives us in order that we can live out strongly our Catholic faith. And this is one that Catholic parents during that time would hammer home with their young ones, reminding them confirmation makes you a soldier for Christ. So you living out your faith, even in this hidden way, from your youngest ages as a child, have to be prepared to sacrifice your life for the faith, because this is greater, and to rely upon these seven gifts that are going to get you through it to make it strongly. Then we have the eight maids of milking. And the eight maids of milking remind us of the eight beatitudes that are there. And the eight beatitudes, what they form for us in is their eight blessednesses, eight ways of finding out that blessed life in God, which is ultimately going to be fully realized in heaven, that we can have a foretaste of it now, even while we're weeping, even while we're mourning, even while we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Those things are the way that dispose us to be ready to enter fully into the kingdom of heaven through those eight beatitudes they would teach. Moving on to the nine is the nine ladies dancing, and seeing those ladies dancing would remind them that the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit that are given there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, of love, of joy, of peace, of patience, of kindness, of goodness, of faithfulness, of gentleness, and of self-control, these being the fruits of the Spirit listed there. And as a person seeks to follow God and lives life in the Spirit, then these fruits naturally are the outgrowth of them. And so each one of the children would be able to examine themselves and see if they have them. And if they do, then they could rest assured that they're living fully the life of God in themselves, even now as they suffer under persecution. Then we have the ten Lord's a-leaping, 10 commandments which God has given. And they would then be expected to be able to recite those back and forth to their parents to show that they know what it means to follow God in the most rudimentary ways, following the 10 commandments. And penultimately, we have the 11 pipers piping. 11 pipers piping is the 11 faithful apostles. 11 faithful apostles. There was one who was unfaithful, Judas. And so that reminds them to be among the 11. Be among the ones who are apostles who were sent out. Be the ones who held strong to the faith. Be like when you think of the one who was unfaithful, you think of St. Peter, who was almost unfaithful because he denied Christ in a radical way. But how instead he ran to Our Lady, and because he ran to her, and Judas ran away from Our Lady. That's why St. Peter was one, saved, and why Judas was lost. So the 11 faithful apostles. And finally, the 12th day is the day of reminding of the drumming, but the 12 points of doctrine found within the Apostles' Creed. That creed which we pray each and every time we pray the rosary. That those are the 12 tenets of faith. The very basics of what it means to be a person of faith in Christ Jesus. And by holding to those 12 things, they can know that they are given to right and solid Christian belief and doctrine by just holding to those as the penultimate gift of the true love which was given to them in the person of Christ Jesus in the Incarnation. At the conclusion of this Mass, I am going to ask you for all of those. So, God willing, you are paying attention, and we'll see how far we go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.
In el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo. San Juan. San Juan es llamado el discípulo amado. San Juan es conocido como el prójimo del Señor. Es prójimo de Jesús porque es el más cercano a Jesús entre los discípulos. El más puro en su virginidad. Es el más casto en su amor. Así que es natural que siendo Jesús la pureza misma, la virginidad misma, la castidad y el amor encarnados, es natural que Jesús haya reservado el mayor afecto a San Juan, su más cercano querido amigo. Pero la amistad cristiana tiene siempre un carácter eucarístico. El Señor ama al San Juan y es amado por San Juan. Pero Jesús espera que el amor amistoso que muestra por el discípulo sea transmitido por él. Es decir, que San Juan no mantenga el amor solo para sí mismo. El discípulo amado es aquel que comparte el amor que se le da a todos sus prójimos. El mandamiento del Señor de amar es prójimo al amar, el mandato del Señor de amar el prójimo es el celo del propio amor de Jesús. Este es el amar que todo hombre debe mostrar a su prójimo. La realidad es que ninguna persona está más alejada del Señor que otras. Nadie es amado de forma secundaria o más débil. Esto es lo que Juan encarna como principal ejemplo y el arquetipo de amor por un discípulo de Jesús. Sí, San Juan. San Juan no existe en carne humana y en la historia, la humanidad pensaría que el amor crucificado del Señor es algo general y abstracto. Sería un amor efemérico que no toca las seres humanos de manera personal y significativa. Sin embargo, el amor humano cercano y íntimo de Jesús por San Juan nos muestra que la humanidad no es atractiva por accidente al amor del Señor por el Padre. No, en realidad, sino que cada individuo es señalado por el amor de Jesús, atratado por el amor de Jesús. Te digo ahora, a todos ustedes aquí, Jesús te ama. Te ama de verdad. Eres amado como un individuo. Tú eres el objeto del amor divino en su persona. Como lo eres hay aquí. Jesús te existe hay personalmente la oferta de amistad. La propuesta de intimidad. La invitación a aceptar su afecto en medio de tus luchas ahora. Eres amado por el amor encarnado, tal y como eres. San Juan aparece aquí como un portador humano de este don del amor divino y la inhabitación del Señor por la gracia en el alma de San Juan es lo que convierte al amor juancio en el amor cristiano. Por eso San Juan apenas puede escribir otra cosa en sus cartas y escrituras que tenemos en la Biblia. Por el don del amor de Jesús, con el que el Señor ha enriquecido el amor de San Juan, el amor de este discípulo ya no es un amor meramente humano, sino que se ha convertido en un amor católico en Dios. Se ha convertido en un amor celestial. Se ha convertido en un amor que ya no está ligado a la persona de la historia llamada Juan. Ya no sirve a sus fines meramente humanos. Este amor se ha transformado en amor capaz de ponerse plenamente al servicio del mismo Señor de la vida, para extenderse hasta la eternidad, incluso a tocarnos a ti y a mí hoy en nuestra pequeña pueblo aquí en Fort Sumner. San Juan lleva consigo a la donde va El don divino del amor puro, virginal y casto. Lo lleva como un jarra que puede contener el... Lo lleva no como una jarra que puede contener el amor, sino como un agua que fluye, una corriente del agua que corre, como un mantenal que brota continuamente. El lugar de San Juan en la iglesia fue, es y será siempre el de encarnar la comunicación humana del amor de Dios a todos los hombres. Y por su aceptación de esta intimidad con el Señor, todas personas, aunque nos sintamos a veces inconstantes y indignos, podemos a través de la persona de San Juan, el discípulo amado, llegar a ser íntimos del Señor. Como San Juan escribe en su Evangelio, capítulo 15, versículo 7, diciendo... Si permanecimos en Él y su palabra permanece en nosotros, entonces podemos pedir lo que queremos. De acuerdo con su divina voluntad, podemos tener la suprema confianza de que se nos hará. Como algo grande y necesario del Señor en esta Eucaristía. En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo. Amén.